Rest this morning is found in Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Let's go ahead and open a prayer. Lord, I just thank you. God, I thank you for the truth of your word, God, that your word is true, that your word is just. God, and that your word speaks to us today. So, God, I pray that as I speak your word, God, that it would touch each and every one of us here, God. For those who listen online and those who listen later, God, it would touch, God, it would meet them where they are, God, and that you would encourage, that you would strengthen, that you would call us out, God, that you would build us up, God, that your word would touch each and every one of us, God, and that we would hear your word, God, that any distraction, anything that would pull us away, God, anything that would distract us, God, that we ask that you take it away now. And God, I just pray, God, that our word, your word transforms us and renews us and builds us up this Christmas season, God. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 146. Starting in that first verse, it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And I will praise the Lord while I have life. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who exercises justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. He thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord." I've entitled the message, "God is Worthy of Our Praise." Classmates will shave their heads in solidarity with a sick child. Someone who shares their meal with a homeless man on the street. A policeman stops to help a little kid tie their shoe. And the world cries, faith in humanity is restored. Even Christians express these thoughts without realizing, however, there's an issue with Christians using this phrase. Is it the fallenness of humanity one of our fundamental beliefs? In truth, we can have no ultimate faith in humanity. If our faith is grounded in humanity, it isn't something that will ultimately fail us. From the very beginning, humanity has let us down. Starting with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, since then, people have continued to struggle. Kids get bullied every day. Homeless people are ignored. Disabled people face ridicule. Those who deserve the least to succeed may often rise to the top. That one sin in Genesis has set off a chain reaction that will persist throughout all history. Ultimately, humans will always fail when we place our hope in people. We will always end up disappointed. But what about all those heartwarming stories and acts of kindness that we see in here? We can't dismiss them entirely. We shouldn't ignore them. If humanity is flawed as the Bible describes it, how do we explain these random acts of kindness, service, and love? These acts should not restore our faith in humanity. They should restore our faith in God. When Christians look at these good things happening in our world and find that their faith in humanity restored, they risk committing, we miss risk committing idolatry by placing humans in the position of God. Instead, when recognize the positive actions of the world, our faith in God should be strengthened. If humanity is truly as broken as the Bible teaches, then the existence of any goodness at all proves that God is present and actively moving in our world. He is the one prompting people to serve others. They may not realize it, but he is. He changes hearts. He transforms lives. On our own, humanity can achieve very little. We are stuck in a cycle of anger, fear, hurt, selfishness. But God transforms broken people. Through Christ, he can take a broken humanity and bring forth beautiful things. So when we come across those faith in humanity, social media posts, and news stories, they should mean more to Christians than the world. We should recognize that the very existence of those uplifting stories is a testament to God's grace in the world. When we hear them, our response should not be to place faith in humanity, but to feel a humble, grateful faith in God, the only trustworthy source of beauty and goodness, who can redeem the most broken person. Ultimately, faith in humanity will lead us nowhere, but faith in God is what will truly guide us and redeem a broken world. Our first point this morning is the psalmist is very clear here that praise God. Right here, he says, praise the Lord, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. He starts off with praise to God. He doesn't talk about all the difficult things in life. He doesn't talk about all the good things in life. He says, praise the Lord. Then he goes on, he says, I will praise the Lord while I live. Okay. The idea here is that praise God while you still can. I will praise God while I have the ability left in me. Because there's going to come a time when you can't praise the Lord. This might come a time when you can't lift up your hands. There may come a time when you can't move your feet and dance and shuffle or whatever you do. There might come a time where you can't purse your lips to praise the Lord. So the psalmist here is saying, I'm going to praise the Lord while I still have a chance. He goes on, I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. While it's still here, while I'm still here, while I still have the ability, while I can do this, I will praise God. And so sometimes we get caught up in life. We get caught up in all that is going on around us, or what we may not have, or what we see on the news. We become so distraught by what's going on in the world around us that we don't actually praise God. We complain about everything. We get upset about everything. Oh, the world is just going to hell in a handbasket. Or we have all these things that we see. And the response to that, when we see the depravity of humanity, when we see all these things not going well, or that things are not going well in our life, we praise God all the same. You hear these cliches. There's only two times to praise the Lord: when you feel like it, when you don't. When things are going good or things are going bad. And that's true. It may be a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason, because we should praise the Lord at all times. But the psalmist goes on and says, this is, and what he's saying is, this is why I praise the Lord. Because our second point this morning is, not only do we praise God, but we trust in God. And the reason why we trust in God is he says, do not trust in princes and in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. That's verse 3. What he's saying is humanity fails us. But the implication is that, yes, when humanity fails us, God does not fail us. Okay? He says, I'm not going to trust in mortal princes. I will not trust in kings. I will not trust in leaders. Even if they are godly leaders, even if they are good people, and they are doing the things that they are supposed to, what he says is that there is no salvation in these people. They cannot save us. No matter how good the kingdom may look, how good our country is going, how big your bank account or however it is, whatever you see that's good and great, man does not bring salvation. So what he's saying is trust in God, because humanity fails us. They may do good at times. Well, human beings are, we are matched by our ability to do great things, is matched by our ability to do terrible and wicked things. But God does not have this same weird dichotomy that is capable of great goodness and capable of great wickedness, capable of great acts of love, capable of great acts of selfishness and depravity. That's not God's character. And that's what the psalmist here is saying, is that only God is able to be righteous. Only God is able to be loving. Only God is able to be merciful and compassionate and do this all day, every day, all year long, year in and year out. Only God is able to do these things. Even the best kings in Israel failed. Even the best leaders and presidents that we have seen, they fail. People that we lift up as great human beings, great Americans, great people, when you dig deep enough, we find out somewhere they failed, and they failed miserably. So not only if humanity fails us, but God doesn't, man cannot save us. But if man cannot save us, we know that God can save us. And so, as we talk about Advent, we talk about the Christmas season. What we're talking about is what we're celebrating is that God becoming a man, and that in God becoming a man in Jesus, is that salvation has come to the earth for Jew and Gentile. And so, that didn't come about, didn't take place by a great nation rising up and bringing social justice to the world and bringing about God's righteousness. It's because God became a child. He became weak and lowly in order and to die that he might save us. So salvation can only come through God. Verse 4, he says, his the spirit parts. He returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts will perish. Here's the thing: unless the end of the world comes and we see Jesus come back, and we are caught up with him, where we will not taste death. We're all going to die, okay? No matter how good you are, how faithful you are, how righteous you are. You will die. Now, for the Christian, we know that death is not the end. Okay? We know that there's a resurrection. We know that we will go be with, we will exist in a heavenly realm. But for humanity, the human leader, they will die. Their goodness, the righteousness that the world sees, all of that things will come to an end. But the implication is that the psalmist is saying, yes, his spirit departs, but God remains. He returns to the earth, but the Lord is still Lord of all the earth. And that very day, his thoughts perish, but God stands outside of eternity. And God's word remains eternal. And the idea is that the reason, this is why we trust in God, because God is not going to die. His word is true, his word remains true, and his word will stand. Brings us to our third point. The world can only be made right with God. Okay? The world can only be made right with God. Despite all of what we try in this world, we try to bring about social justice. We try to bring about social action and change. And we try to feed the hungry. And we try to house the homeless. And we do all these things. And all of these are good actions. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do them. But in the end, we can never bring all that about in this life or in this time, because only God can bring about that type of righteousness and that type of justice. Verse 5, it said, "How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Here's the thing, there is hope in God. There is not hope in humanity in itself. Okay? We can try to hope in a government and we will always be let down. Your favorite politician, the one that you desired most to get in, may get in, and they will disappoint you. They will let you down. They will miss the mark. But we can have true hope in God, and we will not be disappointed. So he highlights the failings of man, but then he extols the virtues of God. It says, "How blessed is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord God." Because that this is the only true place that hope is going to be realized is in God. Verse 6, he said, "He who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, he who keeps faith forever." So that word there, faith in Hebrew, is actually the Hebrew word for truth. Is what it is what he's saying is that not only does he keep faith forever, but he is going to remain true. He is going to be who he said he will be. He is reliable.
Amen.
So he makes the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in it, but yet he will remain true forever. Worldly leaders can't. Worldly systems cannot do that. Churches, no matter how good they are, how hard they try, we will fail at times, but our God does not fail. He remains reliable. He remains faithful. He remains trustworthy. So he creates the earth. And the implication that he is the only one that can make it right. It's like a master watchmaker. They know the watch intricately. They know they made all the pieces. They know how it fits together. They know how it sounds. They know how it moves. They know how much time it will lose over a year period. How many seconds it will be off, or how many milliseconds it may be off, because they understand. They understand its weight. They understand what it's supposed to do. So if it's going to be repaired, you best send it back to the master watchmaker instead of having someone else who they know how to make a watch. They understand how it might sound, but they don't understand it in the same intricate fashion. The watchmaker of this world is God, and he understands it better than anyone else, and he understands what is went wrong with it. And God is the only one who really truly understands how to make the world right.
Amen.
In our arrogance, we think we understand better than God how we can make the world a more just place, how we can make the world more equitable, how that if we just allow people to be who they think they should be, then that the world will be a better place. If we just didn't judge them, but God says, "Hey, I created you to be a certain way. And if I created you to be a certain way, and I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and it's because I spoke this world into existence, how do you know better than God how the world can be made right?" He is the creator. He understood what the earth did before the earth was. He understands how the earth warmed better than the scientists. He understands all of these things. He understands how the earth spins on its axes.
and how it tilts and how it warms, how to God understands. He understands the heart of human beings better than we do. So he is the only one who can make it right. And not only that, but he is faithful and reliable. We can trust God to do what he said he will do. We can trust God to be whom he will be because his character is perfect. He does not change. He is not influenced by the things around us. Even we, at the best of times, when we are at our best, we can have undue influences in our life that lead us astray or lead us to wrong decisions. God is not that way. You cannot influence God. You cannot manipulate God. God is not influenced to make bad decisions. He is faithful and reliable. Verse 7 says, he executes justice for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry and sets the prisoners free. Okay. He's not saying there that just anyone who committed a crime, just willy-nilly, that we're just going to let everyone go. He's talking about people who have been captured and imprisoned unjustly. God brings about true justice, okay? Not in the way the world thinks it should happen, or in the way that you think it should happen, but God will eventually bring forth true justice for those who are oppressed. He gives food to those who are hungry, that one day that we will hunger and thirst no more.
Yes.
We will not have to worry about justice and fairness. Inequity, because when God returns and establishes his kingdom on the earth, all of these things are going to come to pass. But they're going to come to pass in God's way, not our way. So it's probably going to look a little different, even than what we might think as Christians. God protects the helpless and stops injustice. Those who are helpless, those who are weak. Okay. The widow. Verse 8, he says, he opens the eyes of the blind. He raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. I mean, he talks about the open of the blind. I think maybe he talked about spiritually blind here, but also we have to understand that Jesus actually heals blind people in his ministry. But there's also an aspect here that God opens the eyes of those who are blind spiritually. This is really what Jesus coming is, that we who are blind, who don't see God, who don't know God, who don't understand God, that he comes that we might be in relationship with him. For those who are bowed down, those who are low, those who are weak, those who are oppressed, he's going to raise them up. There's going to be a radical overturning of the world system. And he says he loves the righteous. God loves the righteous. God does not love unrighteousness. He does not love wickedness. He loves those who abide by his word, who seek his word, seek to live it out. He says he protects strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. These are people in ancient society who would have had a tough time. Strangers in the land would have been apt to be taken advantage of. They would have been apt to people to take advantage of them because they were not, you're not of the same ethnicity. You're not from this place. You don't know our rules. You don't know our ways. And so they were apt to be taken advantage of and abused. The fatherless and the widow, they don't have people to help take care of them. Their support system is weak. God comes in and says, oh, you don't have a support system. Let me be your support system. Let me provide for you. Let me bring about righteousness. Let me bring about justice. Let me bring about security for you. And he says, he thwarts the way of the wicked. We look at this world and we're like, oh, it seems like the wicked get ahead, those who cheat. Well, we see them get in trouble, but then there's other times it seems like they're getting away with it, and we get upset and we complain about things. Oh, we're all the 1% that are after us, the 1% are doing this to us and that to us. Hey, you don't have to be part of the 1% to screw people over and take advantage of them and do harm to them. But when God returns, the way of the wicked will be thwarted. So God's goodness does not end. It says, the Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. That God's goodness does not end. Man's righteousness, okay? The goodness of a rule, of a presidency, or whatever it is, it will come to an end. Man does not live endlessly. He does not always live righteously. These things will come to an end. Good systems will be replaced by bad systems. Bad systems will be replaced by good systems that are replaced by bad systems and different ideologies. All these things come to an end, but God does not. God remains eternal. He remains faithful. He remains just. He remains all these things. He wants to restore his people. And this is what the psalmist is saying is, hey, do not focus on human leaders. Do not trust in human leaders because they will come to fail us. But God is faithful. God is just. All that we desire from these leaders, God will provide in a better, more beautiful fashion. And so then what he goes on to say, and the big idea is, we praise God because he is worthy. He is faithful. He is just. He is more beautiful and better than any system that we can imagine. So the psalmist is saying, hey, let me remind you all of these things. But the idea is that, and when you understand this and realizes it, it causes us to praise God because he is worthy. We may bow down to the king. We may bow low. People may kiss the Pope's ring. But it is God who is worthy.
Amen.
It is God who will bring justice. It is God who will bring righteousness. It was God who will redeem the earth and restore the earth. It will be him who feeds the poor and gives justice to the widow and to the fatherless. So he is worthy of the praise. So here's our question this morning. Who are you trusting? What are you trusting? Are you trusting in political ideology? Are you trusting in human leaders? Are you trusting in certain economic systems or ideas? Or are you trusting in the Lord? I'm reminded elsewhere, the psalmist says, do not trust in chariots and horses, but trust in the Lord. Who are you trusting? And are you giving God the praise he deserves? You might not got what you wanted. Okay? Not everything that we want is actually helpful or beneficial for us sometimes. Sometimes we're not ready for it. Okay? Or God has a different plan for us. And then we're upset, so we don't want to give God a praise, but God is worthy of the praise. He deserves it. Are you giving God the praise he deserves? God is worthy. Are you trusting him, and are you giving him the praise that he deserves? Let us pray. God, I just thank you and I praise you. God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your mercy, but God, I thank you for who you are, that you are just, that you are true, and that you reign with goodness and justice, and you are reliable. And God, so I pray that we put our trust in you. And that as we put our trust in you, that we give you the praise that is due you, God. It is due you, not me, not anyone else, not great leaders. It is due you, God. So let us just praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen.